Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Worship team, that was awesome. That was awesome. Thank you so much for leading us into the presence of God. And Pastor Sean, thank you for that wonderful anointed interlude. That was a blessing. You know, sometimes when you're in worship and you're in a kind of depth of worship where we had today and where we're going in, this is our hearts, right? This really is our hearts, is to worship God. And you get the sense of being in God's presence, and all of a sudden, and this doesn't happen to me all the time, but sometimes I see myself kneeling in front of Him and all His glory, and I see me for who I am. You want to talk about humbled? Oh, wow. But how big, how grand, how marvelous He is for us. And as all this huge, this tremendous, magnificent love and care toward us and who He is, that He emptied Himself for me, for you. And then all we had to do by faith was just say, okay, Lord, I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, and all you paid for me. And He, in all His glory, chose to live in me and you, all of us. It's mind-boggling. Our God, how big He is. Anything we face is not too big. Anything. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wow, so blessed by the worship. Thank you. Thank you, team. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. Let's get in the Word, shall we?
Yes.
All right. Amen. The series title is Mindset. The title of this message is Battlefield. Now, I want you to understand that the Lord gave me an assignment a long time ago, and that was to plant this church, Rosie and I together, but really He put it on me to do the bulk of this. And it's my assignment. It's been my assignment to grow people up in Him so that they would not be babies and so that they would accomplish the work of the ministry. Now, for those of you that know me pretty well, you know I'm what you call me, Pastor Direct. And, you know, I really hate beating around the bush. I don't like it for when people deal with me. And I don't believe in being fluffy. I'm great. I believe in encouraging people. I mean highly. Being in encouragement. But I also don't believe in coddling. I don't believe in growing up babies to be babies at all. And I want you to know that for the rest of my life, this is me. This is what you get. I'm not going to grow up babies to be babies. I'm going to grow up warriors.
Amen.
Okay? Because that's what you are. That's what you're called to be. That's what you are. That is what you are. You may not see yourself that way, but I'll tell you what, you're going to. Because that's the way God sees you. Our God, that majestic, holy, awesome God, sees you as a warrior. His warrior. Not only His child, not a thumb-sucking baby, but a warrior, powerful and mighty in Him. That's the way He sees you, because that's who you are. Amen?
Amen.
Now that is to be our mindset,
yes,
for our lives, because we're in a battle.
Yes.
Like it or not, realize it or not, cognizant of the fact or not, we're in a battle. We're on the battlefield. Go to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to buzz some scriptures today, but I really wanted to get in the Word. And the Lord was very clear with me about this assignment for this series. Matthew chapter 7. You there? Jesus is speaking to His disciples. That's then, that's now. So you understand, this is a living Word. This isn't a past tense. This is right now. It was right then. It is right now. It's alive. It's real. It's for us. It was for then. It was for now. It's perpetual. And He's warning them. This is a warning. This isn't a platitude. This is a warning to all of us. He said, enter, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. This is all of those who are lost without Jesus Christ. Those who are living their lives and they're building their own dream. They're doing their own thing. They're living life the way they want to live it. Broken down or high-end and multi-billionaires. I mean, it doesn't matter. But they're living their own way without Jesus. Without the knowledge of Jesus, they're deceived. They've rejected him. They're ignorant. They're really living in the epitome of the world and under the deception of all that the spirit of Antichrist or the devil or the satanic messages that come out that have been since creation, in that all that conveyance that he uses, and they're marching through, walking through, partying through the wide gate. Now, this is the gates of hell that Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 16. These are the ones that we rescue people from, all those who want to be rescued. But they're going in, because once they go in and it's all over in their life, or it's all over upon the return of Jesus Christ, that's it. That's it. There's no going back. Many, multitudes go in by this wide gate, captured by the gates of hell. Verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Narrow is the way. First of all, when he says this is a warning. You multitudes of people going through the wide and broad gate. Okay, they enter into hell and there's no return. And it is a place of torment, and it is real. It is eternal torment. Eternal. It's horrible. It's hard to comprehend. But that's where they are. That's where they're heading. That's where they're going. By choice. This narrow way, this narrow road is the picture that the Lord is painting. It's individual because it's so narrow, you kind of almost got to squeeze to get by it. And in order to get through this narrow gate, as you're going through, you have to unload everything, every encumbrance, everything you're carrying, every effort, every work that you've done, all the good things that you may have done or may not have done, all the bad stuff that you may have done, you're unloading everything. And you're going in by yourself, by your own personal choice. And you're entering in that gate. And by this way, Jesus, I mean full blown all the way, I need you. I can't do this. I haven't been able to do it, and I'll never be able to do it. The only answer I've got is you. My life is a mess, or my life isn't right, or my life feels right, but I know I'm empty. Whatever it might be, but I can't do this, and I need you. I've dropped everything else. And I go through the gate, and then Jesus says, difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Why is it difficult? Once you're in, man, the grace message kicks in. Boom, we got it all, right? Everything that pertains to life and godliness, we got salvation, we've got healing and prosperity and all the goodness of God just lavished on us. We've got deliverance from not just sin, but deliverance from all the evil junk and protection and preservation and we got his righteousness. We got it all. We got a brand new identity. We're new people. Everything's passed away. Everything, old stuff, gone. Why is it difficult? Because in this time, this is the passage, this difficulty is the passage of time throughout our lives until we get to the end. And through this time, there are problems and issues and attacks from the demonic, and there are things that God is working in us, and it is difficult. And this going through this difficult, narrow path to the end takes perseverance. Amen. Some quit. Some get sidelined. Jesus is saying, go all the way. Go all the way. There are few who find it. That is going all the way through. Now that's you and me. The wide gate that many are on and the narrow gate that so few are on and that is difficult. The wide's really easy. It's just whatever you want to do. The difficult is got some requirements and some cost. And it's troublesome sometimes. And it hurts full sometimes. However, in this, we have the promise of life, eternal life. The only thing that those on the wide gate have is eternal death and eternal destruction and eternal torment. We were born again onto a battlefield. That's where we are. As soon as we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and we entered that narrow gate, we were born again because Jesus, this is a requirement. You must be born again. We were born again onto a battlefield, a war zone. And so many of us, we somehow lose sight of being in a war. We forget. Our spiritual eyes are so shut and so clouded and so closed because the tendency is to focus on us and our problems and our issues and our lives and what we need and gaining a paycheck or whatever it might be. Or family or issues, whatever. Car broke down. But we forget and lose sight that there is a spiritual war going on all around us. We see it in our country. Come on. It's magnified greatly, isn't it? The media, the big tech, pharmaceutical firms. I mean, you name it. It's everywhere. Colleges. There is a huge, huge spiritual war going on all around us all the time. And we spend our time focusing and fixating on that that's in the flesh. And we're forgetting all the background of what's behind this. Can't do that. We can't do that. This is wake up time, wake up call, because you're warriors. You are not just pew sitters. That was a good spot for an amen. Amen. You are not just pew sitters. God doesn't see you that way. You were not made to be that way. None of you, none of us. We're born into this war for eternal souls. Every single one of us. Because the enemy, the devil, the satanic multitude, from the very beginning, have been after your eternal soul and every other person born on this planet. Now, we've escaped that. We've been bought out, paid for, raised up, sitting in heavenly places with Jesus, conquered. All this stuff is done for us. They haven't. Others haven't. The wide gate, still wide open. Gates of hell, boy, they're real. We were born into this battlefield for a reason. And it's for the kingdom. We have a purpose. Don't lose sight of that purpose in this spiritual battle that's going on all around us. Do you ever ask the Lord to open your eyes so you can see what's going on? Please, if you don't do that, please, please ask the Lord to show you. I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes in a way that you have not seen before. And you will begin to see the background of what's really going on. And let's just use our country, but it's the whole world. It is the world. It's the country. It's Ipsy. It's Michigan. It's our families. It's our coworkers, our jobs. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Could be overwhelming if we did not know the outcome. And we did not know our purpose. And we did not know who we are. It could be overwhelming. But it shouldn't be. Because this background of what's going on around us is more real than this stage. Yes. It's more real. Yes. And we need our eyes open. This opposition of the demonic forces, you know, we wonder, what the world is going on? 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, Beloved, those loved of God, brothers and sisters, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Where did this come from? What's going on? I mean, I've said this. What happened? Wow. But rejoice. Oh, this always cracks me up when I read it. But rejoice. What are you kidding me, Pete? Come on. Rejoice. Rejoice. To the extent, here it is, the mindset. To the extent that you may partake or partner with, be a partner with Christ Jesus' sufferings. Ugh. That when his glory is revealed. You may also be glad with exceeding joy. Yes. You see, we're not doing this for now. Yes. I mean, we're here now, but this is so short. And this is just it's just a blip on the radar screen. Boop, we're gone. That's the reality. We're on the battlefield for our king and for his kingdom. And to reach those that are on that wide gate going into an eternal hell. The demonic isn't everywhere. He plants seeds. The way that Satan and his kingdom work is they are seed planters. He got this from the Lord. Stole it. Plant seed through thoughts and words and to people and then works through people. People who willingly give themselves to him, anybody is fair game as far as the demonic goes. That I'm not talking about you all. That isn't walking with the Lord. Anybody. And the devil loves to work through them, plants seeds and gets to them. Let's say, read the news, read the media. All you got to do, focus on the media for a week. And see what you begin to get. How about fear? How about anger? You start going into the areas of the flesh and the carnality. How about injustice? How about, I'd like to get in there and knock some heads together. Whatever it is. Well, you're starting to operate in the flesh. And you're seeing the flesh. And you're working through the flesh. But this is the way the demonic plants. And he's working through the government. And he's working through the media. And he's working mightily. I mean, through these things. To bring about this conspiracy, which it is, by the Antichrist, of course. To take over the world for a time. Right? To bring in the end. All he's doing is ushering in the end where Jesus returns. But we have a purpose in this. For the kingdom. Right? Okay. We're in a battle. We're on a battlefield. We are warriors. So what do we do? With the manifestation of this battle that we see all around us, don't look at the flesh. Look behind it. Look at what's motivating, pushing, manipulating, controlling so many people. You know, the absence, once you take God out of a situation, out of a country, out of a city, out of people's lives, wide open. Wide open. Empty. Where else are they going to go? What else can happen? The enemy's got a field to plow. What do we do with the manifestation of this battle all around us? Go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. And this is what I wanted to get to. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. This, so that you know, Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians was a, for lack of a better word, was a training manual for the battlefield. That's really what it is. In the very first part of Ephesians, Paul is building up the individual believer. In the latter part of Ephesians, and I'm really synopsizing this, but in the latter part of Ephesians, Paul is building up the church. The believers, the individual believers together make up the church, and the church, the individual believers are a force, but together in unity, it's huge. Huge. And Paul is authoring by the Holy Spirit a training manual for a last days mentality. You know, the Ephesians faced persecution within the church. They faced persecution and hard times from outside the church. This is a time not long after the Ephesians church was grounded and taught that Nero went wacko in Rome and began to attack and persecute believers. And he was awful, if you've ever read anything about it. So they went through some stuff, but this is also a living letter. This is for then, and this is for now. This is the last day's mindset that we need to have. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, when he wraps up his letter, finally, my brothers and sisters, this is not just men, this is not just a singular gender, this is brothers and sisters, and this is old and young, this is child and this is senior, this is everybody, families, male, female, doesn't matter your color, doesn't matter your culture, doesn't matter your background, but everybody, every single person that names the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, this is for you and me. Nobody gets out of this part. This is all for us. Because we are warriors and we are on a battlefield. Period. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That sounds like now. And that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Many of us have heard this over and over through the years, if you've been born again for any length of time. I want to give you a little different take on it today. Okay, because I'm not entirely sure that the reality has penetrated us as individual believers or the church. Remember, your mindset is you're born again onto a battlefield, like it or not. You're called to be a warrior. And Paul says, actually, God says, the Holy Spirit says, who lives in us, says, first, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, when you read that, what do you think? Where does your mind go? What does that really mean? I mean, how do I take that? What do I do with it? This is last day's mindset, remember? This is to the individual and to the church. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In the Greek, it means, finally, my brethren, be strong, be mighty in the Lord, in him. And in the power, the strength His strength, of His ability, His might, His ability to do everything way above, way beyond us. To be strong in Him. We don't really get a concept, even under grace teaching, we don't really get a concept of what it is to be strong in Him because we don't think this way. Our mindset isn't on that we're on a battlefield and we're warring against. You know, some of the things that the enemy uses to come against us, and don't get me wrong, we get some direct attacks right straight from the demonic. They do happen. The demonic does work through people. Sometimes it can be those closest to us. And it may not be understood at the time, but family, man, wow. You wonder why things might not be going well at work, why you may be singled out? Because this is how the demonic works. It recognizes Jesus in you. It recognizes the Spirit of God in you. Don't think it doesn't. Don't think it's strange, the fiery trial which has come to try you. It recognizes Him in you, and it hates Him. And in order to get to Him, it'll go through you. That's how this works. And this is the reality of the battlefield. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
Because what's going on in our country and what's going on in our state, what's going on in our lives around us with all the division and all the onslaught and all the other nasty gender-related, I mean, everything, all the perversion of everything we know to be godly and righteous, our direct attacks in this battlefield against the Lord, against Jesus, against God, against the Holy Spirit. That's what they are. And He's going through you and me to get to Him. How's that feel? It ought to feel like a war zone sometimes, because it is. The thing is that your God and my God has not only equipped us to do far bigger, greater, more on this battlefield than we ever dreamed, but He's already conquered this slug.
Amen.
And all of His hierarchy.
Yes.
That's already done. The thing is, we don't have the mindset of who we are, who lives in us, and who this is, and what He's trying to do to get to God through us. We don't think about those things, do we? Anybody think about that regularly or off and on even? Because that's the reality. Be strong in Him. In the Lord and the power and the strength of His might, His ability. Strong in Him and His might means not in you and your might. You can't fight spiritually. You can't be on a battlefield and fight spiritually in the flesh. But yet this is normally, I'm not singling anybody out, particularly not here, but most of the church, that's the default. Let's go fight in the flesh. In my reasoning, in my money, in my anger, in my righteous indignation, you know, whatever it might be, I'm going to attack back on Facebook. You might as well spit in the wind, because you're accomplishing nothing. But what happens is we all of a sudden default to fighting a spiritual battle in us or with us or by our flesh and doing it carnally. And you cannot do this. We don't have the mindset to be strong in Him and the power of his might. It's not ingrained in us. And that's where we miss it. Most believers miss it, not you. I'm sure not you. We have to put on the new person mindset. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. I won't go there. But he starts by saying, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the way you think. This isn't just a, like, hey, listen, I want you when you get time and you think about it and you feel like it. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. No, you purpose to go through and do this and put on the new man, the new person of who you really are created to be. It is intentional. It is intentional. It's a part of becoming and living out this ability to be a warrior on this battlefield, in this spiritual war for the King. Being strong in Him and the power of His might means being strong and mighty in faith. It means being strong in confidence in Him, in who our God is. Not just when we come to church and we sing a few songs. Or when we feel like it. It's all the time. Whether there's a fiery trial or whether you're rejoicing in the Spirit and you're just loving the Lord and feeling loved. Being strong and mighty in Him and the power of His might is an absolute reliance on Him. Not us. I mean a reliance. It's leaning so far and so far over that if on him, that if he was to move, you'd fall. Amen. Strong in him is our trust. It comes from our heart. I mean, it's our heart. I just trust you. I trust you in this. It's leaning a strong in him and the power of his might in listening to and following through with his direction. Wow. You mean be obedient to his will? Not mine? Yeah. Being strong in him, power of his might, is tapping into his power. His supernatural power. His dunamis power. It's being unmoved by what you see and feel. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. You know, that gets real when it hits your finances or when it hits your body physically. You go, I can't move. I can't do this. You know, I got lots of pain. Hey, you know, we're broke. We're losing our house. Be strong in him and the power of his might. It's being unmoved. Your family says, you know what? We're going to disown you, or we're coming against you, or we're going to sue you. Well, is that happening? Yeah, all kinds of things. Jesus said brother will go against brother, and so on and so forth. It's real. It's being unmoved by what you see and what you feel, and it's being assured, listen to this, because this has to be in our hearts and our mindset, assured of the victory already given to you. Assured of it.
Yes.
Assured of it. Not wavering, not double-minded, not quitting. Oh, that's so hard sometimes. Been there. Oh, I was either learned to fight, and I mean mentally, physically, emotionally, to survive since I was a little kid. And I should have died many, many times. And then when I got born again, I had to learn to fight. God has always made me a fighter. I mean, I had to learn this, like I said, to survive. But now it's fighting for a different reason. It's fighting for him. It's fighting for his kingdom. It's fighting for people's souls. And fighting for me to pursue and continue on this narrow path. Falling off and getting derailed or getting debilitated and giving up and quitting, because the enemy can't get your salvation, but if he can get you to quit walking that narrow path and make you ineffective, he will.
Yes.
It's not quitting. That's being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, his ability in all these different areas. Right through to the end. And it's knowing, being strong in him and the power of his might is knowing God himself is in you and with you and for you all the way. All the way.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 11, don't go there. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 says, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Daniel was a last day's prophet. Much of his prophetic was for now, right now, today, right now. When he spoke this, when he prophesied this, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That's those who are on the battlefield. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. This is a part of how we know we can do this. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Wow. John 16, 33. Jesus said, in the world you will, this is a promise, have tribulation, trials, struggles, attacks against you. It will happen. Remember, the demonic wants to get through you to hurt God. That's it. You will have tribulation. And we live in a corrupt world. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, be happy, because I have overcome the world. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
1 John 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Philippians 4:13. I can do all things, not through me, but through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always, always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. Now those are a given. This is how we know we can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might in all those ways of being strong in him. We had, Rosie and I had a woman come from, she contacted us about 10, 11 years ago, and this lady was from Ohio, and she had heard about us and wanted healing in her body. She had been severely attacked and was losing all muscle control. This was a physical attack, and this was an attack. And doctors' reports and lots of, I would say, very ungodly things spoken to her. And she was a very well-known lady in the area, a TV personality and all of this. And I didn't know who she was. But that's what we found out. And she and her husband came up, and we spent 4 hours with them, and particularly with her. And I dealt with her particularly. And through this time, I kept speaking the word to her and telling her what the word says about the truth, who God is and what he had for her, what was already done for her, who he was in her, and all these changes. But the thing that I said to her, I said, you've got to have the will. You've got to have the mindset to fight.
Yes.
You have to do this because it doesn't work any other way. You're battling right now against all these other things. Were they directly demonic or were they indirectly demonic? Yes, both. This is what you're battling. However, you've got the victory. It's given to you. But you have to have the mindset and the will to fight. And for 4 hours, we got results and results, and everything began to pick back up. But the thing that she said at the end, she says, you know, I don't have the will to do this. I don't have it. I don't have it. I just don't have it. And I kept encouraging her, and I said, you've got to, it's like you want to give a spiritual slap. Come on, you've got to do this for your own sake. This is not for me. This is for you. I want you to live. And she said, I don't have the will to fight. Now that is, unfortunately, the bulk of the church. The bulk of the church does not have the will or the mindset to fight. And that is what we're called to do, is to fight in this spiritual battle. And I don't know what happened to her, but my understanding later on was she failed. And I can tell you time after time after time in all kinds of different areas of people's lives that I and we have ministered to where this has happened. I just give up. I just quit the fight. I start the fight. I start great. And I'm going, you know, but you got to fight. You have to fight. There is no option. You've got to fight. Because you're fighting things you believe. You're fighting things that have been told you. You're fighting what the demonic has planted in you. You're fighting what the enemy has put in your families to get to you. You're fighting what people are doing around you. You're fighting your thoughts. You're fighting your reasoning. You're fighting with the truth. And it is a fight. And you're fighting the demonic against you trying to get to God. He's going to destroy you to get to God to hurt him. That, 'cause he loves you and me. You know, I read this quote and I had heard it a long time ago, but in a dog fight, probably a funny thing to bring up in church, in a dog fight, it's not the size of the dog in the fight that wins. It's the size of the fight in the dog.
Yes.
That's how this works. It's the size of the fight that is in you that determines the victories you're going to see that are given to you and me in this battlefield, in this warfare for souls and for your own life. If you want to read how to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, read what David wrote in 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. Periodically, as a pastor, I read it because it encourages me big time. It's powerful. He understood. I mean, he'd beaten Goliath and other things, but it encourages me. This was at the end of his life, looking back and what the Lord had done and how he had walked in being in strong in the Lord and the power and the strength of his might. This is how he did it. It will bless you. You got to have the mindset, you got to have the will to fight. Ephesians 6 verse 11, if you're still there, I'll wrap up with this. Ephesians 6 verse 11 says, now, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And if you think that I'm going to go down all the helmet of salvation and the feet shod with the preparation, I'm not. Because that's not what this is. When Paul is writing about the armor, he's writing about what we trust in to protect us, to preserve us. Your armor, and this is what armor is, is where you put your trust and your confidence to protect you as you battle. Let me give you some ideas, because there's more. Your training and your instruction in the Word of God. That's your armor. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and power. Being clothed with that power. The Holy Spirit gifts. Speaking in tongues. That's all part of your armor. Your authority in Jesus. That commanding authority. Our words. Part of our armor. That's why it's so important what we speak. Because every time we speak, power is released. I mean, it is big. It is part of our armor. Prayer. Praise. Worship. Joy. Peace. Our identity. That is all a part of our armor. That's what we have. Where we put our trust and confidence in. It's things he gave us. In this battlefield that we are living in. But our mindset needs to be there. You need a last day's mindset for the battlefield. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I cannot finish the rest of this. But I do want to tell you. You got to fight to win. In this battle, you have to fight to win. You're going to get scratched and beat sometimes. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get shot at. And you're going to have some of the greatest times in the Lord. And you're going to see some of the greatest miracles. And it's going to be both. Do you have the mindset of a warrior? Because you're a victor and you're a winner. It's already given to you, but you're walking through that difficult path to the end after you've crossed over that narrow way, that narrow gate, for the King, for his kingdom, for your eternal life. Can I take one more minute? Kids, are you okay? Yeah? You know, I have such a great respect for the Marines and the Marine Corps. I told Rosie, I said about a year ago, I said, you know, I'd really like to join the Marines. What do you think? You think they'd take me?
No.
Yeah, right. She said, I think you're way too old. I said, I could be a chaplain. She said, forget it. You got your call. But in the Marine Corps about 100 years ago, in the middle of a battle, and there was a man, I won't go into all the details of it, but a leader, in the midst of a fierce bullet shooting, heavy, hot battle, he jumped up and he said to his guys, you know, they're all hunkered down, they're like, well, I'm just going to stay safe. He said, come on, men, you want to live forever? And they got up and they charged and they stomped the enemy. Now, most Christians, most believers are hunkered down trying to sit things out because they're more afraid of losing their life here than they are thinking of eternal life and what this means. They're more afraid of not having this life than they are looking forward to forever. That's most believers. And they're not on the battlefield. They're sidelined. Because they want to live to get forever here. I mean, not openly, but subconsciously, yes. Want everything to be good and right just for them right now. It ain't going to happen. Not anymore. So you have a decision to make and a mindset choice to build. And that is either you're in this for the battle in the battlefield, or you're sidelined. This is for eternity. That's what this is all about. This is not for the here and now. Our lives are hidden in Him. And we're going to be eternally with Him. And we are here for Him. Because we gave our whole life to Him. And He loves every human being on this planet. And He's going to work through us to reach them. And we are going to go through hard times and demonic attacks. It is going to happen. You all know this. Stand with me, please. My challenge to you this coming week is to go get your mindsets right if they're not there. If you identify in your armor that it isn't up to where it needs to be, then you need to pitch the bad stuff. I mean, overtly, and start making the changes to be equipped with the real armor that He made you to have. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, my heart, my prayer is that these warriors will become so equipped that they are devil stomping, demonic bashing warriors for You. That their lives are a reflection of who You are, Jesus. That they go about doing good and healing and delivering and reaching all who are oppressed by the devil and the demonic in this life, all around them. That they reach those in their sphere, that they hunger to do harm to the devil and his minions, to thrash and stomp and beat and rub his face in the sewage that he professes. Show them, Holy Spirit, that they are victors. They are warriors and they are victors. And You are for them always. And Lord, I thank You for the changes that You're working in us, all of us, in these last days, that we become effective for You in all parts of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.